Good morning, friends and neighbors. This is Pastor and Bible teacher Craig Heilman, welcoming you to another edition of Study His Word Radio. A couple announcements first, and then we'll get started. Next week, I will be doing my entire show, and I'm going to be covering the subject of masks. I know we're all getting sick and tired of hearing about COVID, but I just want to take a little time to cover that subject of masks. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the science. We're going to look at the studies that have been done. Because with a lot of people, it's emotion and it's just one side or the other. But I think when you sit down and you look at the science behind it, you're going to find out something. Those of you that are pro-mask, you're going to hear some good news and you're going to hear some bad news. And those of you who are anti-mask, you're going to hear some good news and you're going to hear some bad news. So we're going to look at the science. And I think once we look at it and we look at these studies and we break them down, I think it'll all make sense. So I encourage you to join me next week and we'll look at the science of masks. And by the way, on August 18th on my show, I looked at vaccinations. And there again, we looked at the science of vaccinations. And I looked at who was getting vaccinated and who wasn't getting vaccinated. And what were the reasons why those who weren't getting vaccinated weren't getting vaccinated. So if you didn't hear that show, I would encourage you to go to the archive page at WWGH1071.com and pull up the August 18th. Join us next week for masks. A second announcement is this week is the Popcorn Festival. And I invite you to come on Thursday. I invite you to go any day, but I especially invite you to come on Thursday. And you can meet me. You don't have to, but you can meet me. I'll be there all day. We have the community showcase stage, which is the stage in front of City Hall on West Center Street. And we're going to have a worship service at 1 o'clock, and there's going to be live bands. There's going to be a total of 7 bands. There's going to be live bands until 11 o'clock at night on that stage. You can hear contemporary Christian. You'll hear some Christian rock. So just come on out and enjoy the Popcorn Festival. Stop by. I heard a rumor that I'm going to be speaking for about 10 or 15 minutes around 4 o'clock, so you might want to come and listen to that. And so come on out this Thursday. All right, so today, if you've been a listener to this station at all, you are going to know my guest. He has a show from on Wednesdays, he's with Scott from 10 to 12, and then he has The Progressive Life from 12 to 1. And on Thursday, he's here from 10 to 12 for Open Air and then for the Swap Shop. And it's none other than Glenn Coble. So, Glenn, welcome. Good morning.
Oh, first of all, is my mic working?
Yes, I've got it turned on.
I always struggle with having guests because I always push the wrong button on there, but hi, it's good to see you again. I used to engineer your show, but it looks like you know what you're doing now.
Well, don't tell anybody, but I'm good at faking it.
All right. So, your shows sound interesting. I may have to listen to them either on live or over the air or after the fact about the masks and the about the shots. That will be interesting to me.
Well, the August 18th, the one I did 3 weeks ago, we talked about vaccinations, talked about shots. So I would encourage you to listen to
it. Yeah, I will.
We tried to stay strictly with the facts and very, very little opinion, because that's all you ever hear anymore is just opinion.
Yeah, well, opinions don't really do anything.
Right.
Facts are what counts.
Yeah. Anyway, so let me ask you this. First of all, let me start by saying that I think our listeners know, but in case somebody doesn't know, you have stated on the air several times that you are an atheist.
Yeah, and actually they heard me from the beginning. When I started here about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I was in my progress of changing from agnostic to atheist.
Okay.
And I just decided, rather than be a coward, I would come out and go ahead and admit to people. Now, see, I was running for office right before I started working here. And I was warned by everybody, don't tell anybody that you're an atheist or an agnostic because you'll lose. Well, that doesn't seem like a very good reason to vote for somebody, in my opinion, but so I kept it pretty well quiet. If people asked, I'd tell them, but nobody did ask. So then for the last 2 years, I've been doing a lot of soul searching. So I've gotten to the point where I believe the atheistic life is the way I want to live. So,
you know, it's interesting because I think that there are a number of politicians that have deep faith.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are.
But they kind of cover it up because they're afraid that that may also cause them the election.
My problem is when they're dishonest with their parishioners. Boy, you can tell I was a preacher's kid. When they're dishonest with their constituents and they try and cover up either way, that they're an agnostic or that they're a Christian. If you're a Christian, be proud that you're a Christian.
That's right.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And if you're an agnostic, be proud that you're an agnostic. In both cases, you need to have done the thinking first, though.
Amen. All right. Well, let's start at the very beginning.
Sure.
Because you're a preacher's kid.
Yeah.
So you grew up, your father was a Methodist minister.
Right.
And I'm assuming you were very involved in the church. So paint the background for us.
Okay. My father was, I guess you'd call him an enlightened Methodist minister. He went to Boston College. He went to Harvard. So he was a pretty smart cookie, and he believed in preaching historical critical religion. In other words, let me get it as simple as possible. If you know the science of Noah's Ark, you probably know it's not possible that the whole world shut down and had a giant flood everywhere, and only two of each species lived through it, because it would have really messed up the genealogy of those poor critters, and we wouldn't have steaks today. So that would have been really bad. But Dad was very, very learned, but also very devoted, and my mother was even further. I always think of my mother and my sister as two angels here on earth. They both, till my sister died about 5 years ago, she worked in the church and she was a secretary. She was a brilliant woman as well. Her husband was an ophthalmologist, and she was a stay-at-home mom but didn't want to stay at home, so she went and worked at the church. So I was led by people that were very devout Christians. And my brother, not so much. But the people I loved, well, I'll say it right now, I loved my mother and my sister probably better than my dad and my brother. Not that I didn't love my brother and my dad, but my mother and sister were both brilliant, thoughtful people. And so anyway, I grew up, we lived in Indiana. Dad was a Methodist minister. When I was born, my father was the Methodist minister of Washington Street. My mouth's not working today. Yeah, he was the minister in Indianapolis, Indiana. And then my first year of life, we moved down to Crawfordsville, Indiana, where Dad was the minister, I think, First Church down there, Methodist Church, and also professor of English at Wabash College. And then after, I don't know if you know the Methodist Church, but every 6 years you get moved. So we got moved to South Bend, Dad was in two churches at South Bend, and then he was on the fast track. He was a very ambitious minister, and he was on the fast track to become a bishop. So they started moving him around in what they called the district superintendent positions. And I went to three high schools because we moved three times while I was in high school. And he was on the really fast track to become the bishop of the Indiana Methodist Church, and had a stroke. And he lived through it, but not very well. So after a year or so, he passed away, and that's how I got to be very I was a very devoted Methodist young boy.
So how old were you when he passed away?
Oh, I was quite a bit older. Matter of fact, I think, yes, I was married.
Okay.
I kind of skipped through my teenage years, yeah, which were rough years for a preacher's kid, but great years. I was an athlete and was able to, you know, run around and have a good time.
Well, I am familiar with the Methodist Church. You said they moved their pastor, yeah, every 6 years. I grew up in Westerville, Ohio, in an EUB, Evangelical United Brethren.
Yeah.
And it was either 67 or 68, they merged with the,
yeah,
Methodists.
That was the beginning of my change.
Okay. Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because the EUB are much more, what is the word I'm looking for? They're more right. They're more fundamentalist,
okay,
than the Methodists. So there had to be a meeting of the minds. And they actually came out because of the EUB and hated gay people and stuff like that. There were a lot of things that I didn't think were right because I had two gay friends at the time. And that kind of started making me think, what's going on here? And but that was when I was in my teen years, and I loved the church. I absolutely loved the church. There was nothing better than Lenten season when we'd have every Wednesday night, we'd have a church service, and we'd have a bazaar, and we'd have, Advent season. We'd have a bazaar, and it was just beautiful. The church was always beautiful. So I was very devoted to the joys that the church brought me.
Okay. So when did you start having serious doubts or serious thinkings, or, you know, when did you start moving away from the faith because of what you were thinking?
My dad told me when I was 16, I believe, he said, when you grow up, you're either going to be a terrific atheist or a terrific Methodist. And because he could see I was really struggling. I was struggling with, why would God kill all those children in the Great Flood? Why would why did certain people let the robbers kill or try to kill the man on the road to, what the heck is it?
Damascus.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Damascus. No. It was... what is that parable? I had a lot of questions like that. Why would God turn his back on so many things? Why would God let little children die? I had lots of questions. And so I was questioning from the very first day I could really think about the religion. And so about 16, 17, I start questioning more seriously and then answering my own questions. And, you know, you think you're kind of cool at that age. So I thought I was a big guy because I could answer all those. And I had read the Bible twice. I had the God and Country Award from the Boy Scouts. I was pretty well steeped in the language of the church. And I started to change, though, when I went. I had already started my change before I went to college. When I went to college, I didn't really hear, you know, a lot of people say college is what kills religion in your life. My belief was, it wasn't college that killed my belief in church. It was learning that killed my, I started to learn about things. I started learning about Darwin theory. I started learning about all sorts of things that contradicted what the Bible said. And my father used to say to me, don't think of that as a contradiction of what the Bible says. It really is support of what the Bible says, but the Bible was written by people that were ignorant of these things. But they were trying to explain it the best they could. And that sufficed for me up until I was married and had my first child and my father passed away. And about that time, I started getting a lot more serious about questioning my religious faith. And but quite frankly, I didn't really think of myself as even an agnostic till I turned 50. And I'm 75 now, so I've had 25 years. And I really didn't call myself an atheist until the last 2 years.
Okay.
I was always afraid. I'm no longer afraid.
Were you afraid of ridicule, or you were afraid of...
Ridicule has never bothered
me.
What I was afraid of is dying. And now I have a completely different thought about dying, so...
Okay, so share your thoughts on dying. Because if you were afraid up until very recently, what changed?
I've listened to a lot of people on both sides of the coin, and it just seemed logical. Neil Tyson deGrasse, who is a famous physicist, or astrophysicist, something like that, he explained it in his thought, and there is absolutely nothing wrong in his belief and my belief in being Christian. The best people I've known in my life were Christians. But the idea that there's somebody sitting on a cloud making judgments just didn't seem logical. And I started listening to people like that, and the thoughts started coming to me, if I'm going to die, what's going to happen to me? That's what I was afraid of. And then I realized...
I think, you know, for anybody, if they fear dying, that is the fear. It's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The unknown. I mean, that's natural fear.
Yeah, and I think it's good. I mean, I am very happy that my sister said... One of the last things that my sister said to me is she said, I'm going to go to heaven before you do. I'll see you there. And that was a beautiful thing. It still makes me kind of tear up a little bit. I love that. I love that she had that faith. She wasn't afraid of dying at that point. So I started thinking about it. And now I'm not afraid of dying because I've lived a really good life. I've never done anything bad to anybody. I've lived by the New Testament laws, or by Jesus' laws in the New Testament. I still do. I believe in the golden rule, almost. That's really the basis of my morality. And I figure if there is a God, and I've lived my life that way, and he's going to send me to hell because I just didn't say I'm born again, that's not the type of God I want to follow. And I don't believe... That's a human trait that we put on God, I believe. If God is as good as the people that say there is a God, if he's that good, then he will say, Glenn made a mistake. Come on in. You know, I really believe that. And if there is no God, I think I'll turn into dust and eventually stardust and eventually go back to making stars with no thought. And a lot of people say, well, what'll happen to your thinking? I truly believe when you die, it's just like before you're born. There is no thinking. You don't have synapses that click back and forth to each other.
Because that's a physical trait, and before you were born, there was no physical you.
Right, yeah. So anyway, but I do want to state, so many people nowadays have made it us against you. No, it's us against evil.
Right.
You and I get along very well. Because you respect me for the way I feel. You obviously disagree with me. And I respect you for the way you feel. And I obviously disagree with you. But you're a good person. And I'm a good person. And that's what we need to become. Good people. No matter what you believe in. The other thing that I've always considered, if all the evangelicals say you have to become born again, what happened to the billions and billions and billions of people that never heard of Jesus Christ, that never knew anything, or that were brought up as a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Baha'i or a Sikh or all those other religions. Are they all just atheists? You know, no, we're atheists to them because or you're an atheist to them because you don't believe in Muhammad or something like that. So anyway, that's kind of where I've come. And this last week has been terrific for me because it's really made me think more about it. And not that I hadn't been thinking very heavily. When you say to somebody for the first time, I'm an atheist, that makes you spend the next day saying, was I right to say that? Because I've been brought up as a Christian, and it scared me to say that.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, as you said, you respect me, I respect you. We obviously disagree.
Yeah.
But I like you.
Yeah.
I think you like me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, the whole reason that I wanted you to come on this morning, because I've looked forward to having you on.
I hope I didn't talk too long.
No. We got 27 more minutes.
Okay.
But
how are we going to fill that much time? I've already blown my whole thing.
Oh, I got some questions.
Okay.
No, but it's, I know that sitting here talking, I'm not going to change your mind. You know, sitting here talking, you're not going to change my mind.
Right.
So what's the purpose of us getting together? Well, the purpose of us getting together is so we can have an open discussion, and so that really, I want to understand you. You know, I want to understand the process that you went through. Because quite honestly, I was an atheist in college, mm-hmm. and for 20 years. I've said this before on the radio.
Yeah, I heard you.
I grew up in a Methodist church. I went to college. I totally rejected my faith, and I became an atheist. As a matter of fact, there was a famous atheist, Frank Zindler. Have you ever? I don't know if you've ever.
I think I've heard that name. Yeah.
And I'd heard him on the radio a couple times when I was in college, and I'm like, man, this guy's nailing it. And so for 20 years until I was in my 40s, I was an atheist. Mm-hmm. Well, I went through a process where I changed.
Mm-hmm.
You changed your thoughts. I changed my thoughts and my beliefs. So I've taken a very similar path as you by changing in my beliefs. It's just we took different paths.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to understand, you know. And it's not my job for when you come on here and you tell me what you believe for me to pick at it and say, well, you know, you're wrong because of this, or that can't possibly. That's not doesn't gain anybody anything.
No, it doesn't.
So, you know, I'm, you know, fascinated to have you here because, you know, I want to understand this because, you know, your journey in life is different than mine, but we all take a journey in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting that we both started at the same place. Now,
I
wasn't a preacher's kid, but I was very involved in that church.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. We started in the same place, but yet our paths have gone differently.
I think it's perfectly fine. And you know, you say, I won't change you and you won't change me. That's not true. I'm 75, but I could still change tomorrow. I could go home and say, wait a minute. Now, he had a thought. Let me look into that. But what you need to do is keep thinking
right.
about what you believe.
Right.
Now, people say, I believe in Christ because, or I believe in Christianity because of faith. Well, I've thought my way through. Faith is, it's a hope.
Right.
It's nothing more than a hope. And so, but I also, if I get to the point where I believe that hope has stronger background than my science thoughts, I may change back. Nothing's ever final until you get called home to the grave.
That's true. Well, I've been a Christian now for 24 years, and even in that 24 years, I've gone through some change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my beliefs today are not the same as they were 20 years ago.
Were you angry when you decided, well, that's a, when you left the church?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was really, because I was
a little angry too.
I was, you know, it's interesting because I was in high school And when I turned 18 and went off to college, I stayed at home, but I had a lot more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I instantly decided, because I guess I'd gone through, I was going through a change as a teenager in high school. So in college, I said, I'm not going to church anymore. Because I looked at that church that my parents went to, and I saw nothing but hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
I saw nothing.
Me too.
I saw nothing but competition between Sunday schools, and I, you know, those kinds of things. And I
never
like,
thought of that. That's true, though.
There was, it was. And I said, I don't want a part of that. You know, yeah. I can get that in everyday life. I don't.
You
need
can
to
go play
there.
Football.
Yeah. So that was what drove me away from the church. And it's really kind of funny because later, toward the end of when I about the end of when I was an atheist, I actually had started going to a church that my wife was taking me to. And when she first started taking me, well, when I first met her and found out she went to a church, yeah, I didn't care. And then she wanted me to go to her church.
Of course.
And it was really kind of funny because I thought, well, let's see. I've been to a Catholic church. I grew up in a Methodist church. I've been to a Lutheran church. I've been to an Episcopal church. Now, I've never been to a Southern Baptist church, but these people are probably pretty wacky. So, yeah, I'll go for the entertainment. The
music's good.
Yeah. So, but, you know, eventually that's what got me to change. But, you know, you have... I agree. It's always possible to change, and it's never too old, and you may change, or I may change, whatever, because it is a process.
Right.
And but anyway, so I've got something I need to ask you
sure.
about.
Sure. Be glad to.
So
answer.
Now I know this is like off the subject, but not really. You had mentioned a couple of times that your father was involved to a point in the civil rights.
Very much. Yeah, he went. He was in the march from Selma to Montgomery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, obviously he was in that one march. Was he also involved?
Oh, a lot of others. Yeah. He, you know, in the local church, he was condemned by several people for being a communist. He was condemned for being. The John Birch Society condemned him. He was condemned by a lot of people because he believed that people were good, not bad.
Did he get any flack from within the church?
Yes. Yeah.
As the leadership in the church, or just the
both?
Okay.
Yeah, I remember Dad. Talking to Mom. Now, he didn't talk to me about this, but I remember hearing Dad talk to Mom that such and such a person who was very well-to-do in South Bend was no longer going to donate the money. And that was Dad's hated sermon. You're required once a year to do that give us money sermon. And he hated it. And he told it from the pulpit. Next week, I got to give you the give us money cert. So if you don't want to come, don't come. You know, it was that kind of thing. But I don't know where I was going with that.
They'd had one big money person that wasn't going to give because.
And I remember his name, and I remember him fondly. He was a very nice man. But he thought Dad was going to go to hell because of his stance on civil rights. Now, he was a very well-to-do farmer in South Bend. As a matter of fact, he gave us about an acre to farm if we wanted it every year. That was just kind of part of the payment Dad got. We only gardened about a tenth of that, but an acre's a lot of property. But and I keep getting ready to say his name, and I'm not going to say his name. I'm not even sure he's still alive. I doubt that he is. Oh, I'm sure he's not. But anyway, he withdrew his money from the church because Dad was a civil rights communist. And I don't know why people think because you believe a person with darker skin than you if you believe that, that they're equal to you, you're now a communist. I don't understand that at all.
That act, you know, in the time period, that was an easy label to throw around.
Oh yeah, everybody hated communists.
Yes, and you don't hear it. Well, you do. You've been hearing it lately, but you didn't hear it for a while because it kind of lost its meaning and everything.
Do you understand it when I say that Jesus was a socialist?
Maybe I should say, how do you mean it? Because I don't want to assume that I do.
Well, I believe that he believed that we should give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That would be considered a socialist thing now. I believe that he thought all people are equal. That would be kind of a socialist thing anymore. Now, that's a political socialist thing. Now, most people don't even know what a socialist is anyway, so I probably shouldn't even have brought that up. But, it bothers me when people start throwing these labels around. Communist, socialist.
Fascist.
Yeah.
Because
lib. I'm a lib.
Unfortunately, the 20-year-olds, that generation, my generation, I'm 62, those labels don't mean the same thing as far as fascists and socialists and
absolutely.
Things like that.
Your parents and my parents thought of a fascist differently than some of these stupid people that label
that's the first thing out of their mouth.
Now.
That's the first thing out of their mouth. And, you know, I think part of that is our education system is
weak.
So I want to get back to the civil rights thing. So first of all, kudos to your dad for, number one, hating to have to give the sermon about money.
He hated that.
And second of all, I think if I understand correctly, kudos to your dad not changing what he believed in just because he might lose a big donor.
Yeah, my dad was anything but a hypocrite. His beliefs were his beliefs. He was pliable. He could listen to people. He was going to do what he thought was the right thing to do for his parishioners mm-hmm. and for his family. Those were the, and not in that order, his family first and then the parishioners second.
So if I do my math correct, I believe in that March on Selma, you would have been a teenager.
I was 18.
Okay. All right. So did you get involved in any of that?
No.
Okay.
No, I was anti-disruptive until I became 21. And then I was in the march on the in Chicago when the Chicago 7 said the whole world is watching, that sort of thing. And I was there for my draft physical, but I happened to end up at Grant Park.
So when your dad was involved in the civil rights movement and you were a teenager, did you think, go dad? Did you, dad shouldn't do this? How did it affect you?
I always was very proud of my father.
Okay.
He was a very quiet man. He didn't talk to me very much. That's why my mom and my sister rank slightly above my dad. But, yeah, he didn't talk to me very much. He was a thinking person. I always said, go, Dad. I always thought, Dad, when he was talking about being a good Christian, I said, go, Dad. I loved everything about being a Christian. It made my family good people. Now, I shouldn't say that. I don't believe that being Methodist made them that way. I think they were born that way. I think there are people that are born with good hearts, with, well, not necessarily good hearts, positive hearts, caring for other people, empathy. And then there are people that are selfish and don't really care about other people. So, and there's nothing, if you can control yourself on both sides of that, you can be a very productive human being.
Now, how many kids were there in your family?
Three.
Okay. So
I was the baby by 10 years to my sister.
Okay.
And 8 years to my brother. So
okay.
I was a oops.
So your sister maintained her faith over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Your brother?
He was a capitalist. He wanted to make money. He went to church, but I'm absolutely convinced he went to church, well, for two reasons. First of all, he went to church so that people that bought stuff from him would see that he was a Christian, right? It was a selling proposition. Then he realized he was an alcoholic, and AA kind of helped him find, it gave him meaning in his life, having that religion. I think he kind of leaned on it as a crutch as opposed to really believing it, but boy, he talked a good game.
So now then, did you, once you grew up, you were an adult, did you ever attend another church that wasn't pastored by your dad? Did you go churches anywhere else?
Oh, yeah. I've gone to, I've been to Jewish temple and actually went to Jewish school with Lillian Gerwitz and her brother Norman when I was young. I've gone to Catholic school or churches back in the day when, oh, Protestant is in a Catholic church. Well, you can't take communion. And
I was there. I yeah. know about that.
I sang with a folk trio for lots of years, and we did a lot of gigs at Baptist churches. They liked the music, and it was at the time of folk music was against Vietnam. And believe it or not, a lot of the Baptist beliefs were against Vietnam. And I was too. And because I didn't want to go. I ended up going into the Army, but I sang my way through the Army. I don't know where I was going with that.
It started out as, had you been to any other church?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that I was required to do for God and Country Award in Scouts was to read about other religions. So I've read about most of the religions of the world, at least a little bit. I'm dangerous in them, you know. I can tell you who they worship or whatever. But so that instilled in me the interest in going to different churches. And one of my favorite churches, I drove a car for a lady whose husband owned the Ball Jar Company. And during the summer, I drove her car for her, like being Miss Daisy or something like that. But I drove her around, and one of the things we did every Wednesday night was go to the Baptist church. It was Calvary Baptist Church, and it was in Harbor Springs, Michigan, and it was for it was kind of a segregated church back then. It was probably 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago. Back then, all the maids and the butlers were African American, and they all went to this Wednesday night service and sang. Oh, what glorious music! I'm getting goosebumps just remembering how much fun we had at that. Now, that probably wasn't a religious thing. It was more of, boy, that music's great. And I love music, still do. So, I've gone to an awful lot of churches and read a lot about other churches.
So the folk trio that you were in,
yeah.
was that formed as a church group, or was it just other people you knew? Or
no, we started when we were 16, and I went to a high school, and there were two guys there that needed a third, and I could play string bass, and they needed a bass player. So I didn't have the greatest voice in the world, but I did have good pitch, and I could blend well, and they had great voices. So we sang for, from the time we were 16 to the time we were 22, because we actually sang with the United States Army Field Band as the featured act of their show. So we spent a lot of time on the road and talking about it. But no, had nothing to do with religion. It did have to do with civil rights and the war, because all our music that we sang was about civil rights and the war.
So how old were you when you went into the Army?
Great question. Let's see. I must have been 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long were you in the Army?
3 years.
Okay.
Just normal sign up.
So during that 3 years in the Army, did you have any, did you attend any services? Did you go to church? Did that help keep you thinking more about not church?
After I was went to the Army, after a year, I married my wife, we did go to church, but not on a regular basis. But we went to church because both of us had gone to church all our life. My wife went to my dad's church. Her father was our doctor, so it was kind of close in the relationship there. And so, yes, we went occasionally. I can't say I was devoted to it. I was on the road a lot being with the Army Field Band, so I didn't go a lot. My wife went probably every month, one or two times. So. And then after I got out of the service and came back to Valparaiso, Indiana, I kind of laid off. And then we ended up moving down to Athens. I got a job as assistant athletic director at Ohio University, and met a gentleman who is now a Marianite, Reverend Kiger, who was the chaplain out at the hospital. He also was a minister over at the Methodist Church right there right across from Lightbleas. I don't know what the church is, but we loved Reverend Kiger, and he was our minister in Athens and we went to his church every Sunday for 7 or 8 years, 6 or 7 years. And I loved it. I loved having the opportunity to, and he taught kind of a historical, critical line like my father. And unfortunately, I truly believe, and he has never said anything to me about this, but I've heard rumors around that he was kind of helped out of the position at the church because of his liberal teachings.
So your wife went to church. So what does your wife think about, or how has it changed, or where has it left you guys, your transition, your change that you've come through?
Actually, my wife has been very supportive. My wife she started asking me questions because my dad was a minister, her minister, and she said, well, what did your dad say about this, or what did your dad say about that? The thing that always bothered her the most was the Great Flood, which also bothered me a lot. Why would God decide to kill all those innocent babies? Why would God want to kill all those innocent animals, you know? And so we started talking about it. And the more we talked about it, the more we both realized there were a lot of questions that we'd like answered that we weren't finding any answers, especially in the current Christian movement. So we quit going to church.
All right. Well, one last thing to wrap up. We've got about
5 minutes.
got about 5 minutes. Is there anything that you want to say, or anything you want to add to what you've said? Or
the one thing I'd really like people to know is, even though I'm an atheist, doesn't make me a bad person. I probably have better morals than most of the people that claim they are Christian. And I'm not saying better, that shouldn't say better morals. I adhere to my moral standard better than a lot of my friends who claim to be Christian. But I love my Christian friends. And I'm glad you have something to lean on. I lean on science. You lean on your religious beliefs. And that's good. I can't imagine not having something to lean on, because life can be scary.
You know, what you said there, I think, is really excellent.
I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
No, I think it's very true. When you said, just because I'm an atheist, or when I say I'm an atheist, that doesn't make me a bad person.
No.
I think that's very, very important, because you and I disagree, and, you know, but you're, you know, I like you. And there's something about that word atheist that conjures up just negative.
Evil, yeah.
Yeah, evil, and in people's mind. And it's true that I think a lot of people, when they hear that, they they have preconceived notions about somebody. And no, that's
an atheist is only a person that doesn't believe that there's an overlying God. Right. Doesn't mean that they believe in Beelzebub or anything evil. Right. Now, if you believe in Beelzebub, you're not a good person.
You are evil.
Yeah, you are evil. And just because you're a Baptist, Southern Baptist?
Southern Baptist.
Just because you're a Southern Baptist doesn't mean you're evil. There are a lot of atheists and agnostics that think you are an evil person because that's not true at all on either side.
That's true because, you know, in Southern Baptist, you say Southern Baptist and you automatically get labeled with a, you know, a wild-eyed fundamentalist evangelical.
Racist white guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of labels that can come out.
And it's not true.
It's not. So, Glenn, I want to thank you for being here this morning.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I hope I didn't make all your audience angry. Or if I did, think about it.
No, that's the whole idea is to get people to think, to get people to better understand you, better understand me, just get them to think a little bit because, you know, that's what it's all about. So, thank you for coming on this morning. And what I want to do in about the minute we have left is encourage you to go to wwgh1071.com and pull up the archive page and you can hear things from the past. I would encourage you to go to my website. My website is Study His Radio. No, I don't even know. It's studyhiswordradio.org and send us comments, questions. What did you think about today? I'd love to hear from you. So, again, thank you for listening. Don't forget about the Popcorn Festival. This week, it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to be at the Community Showcase stage all day Thursday. You can hear some Christian music, and I look forward to seeing you there. If you are there, stop by, say hi, introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you, and we'll be back next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about masks, and we're going to talk about the science of masks. We're not going to deal in opinions and scare tactics and all the kind of stuff that people do. See you next
week. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated,